Welcome to the Highbury Squad. You can follow us on Twitter at Highbury Squad. In fact, it's the same on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and eventually iTunes. Join me, Sophie, aka at Soccer Diva, Amanda, aka at GoonaGirl1969, and our very special guest, Super Kev, Super Kevin Campbell. It's just like being down the pub with your mates.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to a long-awaited Highbury Squad pod. We haven't been here for a while. Joining me today, unfortunately, isn't Super Kev. He cannot make it. So it's all girls today. I got my sister from another mister. Hello, Miss Sophie.
Hey, how you doing? That sounded very American. Hold on, let me do that again. So, good afternoon. How are you?
Right, okay. Just to let everyone know, she's had a mimosa. This could get a bit rough. And I need to be in charge like a teacher.
No, hold on a second. Do not accuse me of being tipsy before you've actually got the evidence to prove as such. And I will show you throughout the recording today that I am completely sober, mind you.
Okay, anyway, moving on. You said you weren't tipsy last time and you bloody were.
No, I was and so was Kev. I mean, I got the heat on that one.
Yeah,
that was
shush, Alan Myers show. Shush. Would you like me to introduce our guest? It would be nice,
sure.
Wouldn't it?
Yes, let's
well,
do that.
Well, we got Super Tiff from the Arsenal Gals. Is it Goona Gals? I never know if it's Goona Girls or Goona Gals. What do you call yourself, babe?
Goona Gals.
You're the Goona Gals. Welcome, Tiff.
super tiff.
Right. Shush, Sophie. Hello, Tiff.
She's definitely a mimosa behind that.
She is, yeah. We just have to ignore her. I'll just shut her up. Don't worry. welcome to the Highbury Squad. We have wanted you to come on for ages, and all of a sudden it just worked, and I'm so pleased to have you.
Oh, we're just in like an hour.
It was my idea, by the way.
It was her idea, although we've had you on our list for God knows how long. It was your idea.
Well, tell them about your group, because you have an amazing group of women, and you guys are a perfect example of what it means to be a fan from an international perspective. And it would be great to give, especially the UK fans, an idea of what you guys do, how much effort you put into watching your team, some of the things you've done this year. Take it away, Tiff.
That's a list. We started August of last year, and it just sort of came about from these individual groups of women all over the U.S. and, as it turned out, sort of around the world, who were having these individual conversations online about the matches, and we reached out and made a larger group, and people just flocked to it. So it sort of grew out of necessity of being in the male thickness, I guess, of the Arsenal conversations. And you know, it can be hard to be the one or two female voices in a large group and carry on a conversation. And so those voices are often, unfortunately, dismissed from the conversation. And so we started our own. And now there's 509 women in it all over the world.
That is awesome, Tiff. Unbelievable. Go on. That's brilliant.
So last year was really just our inaugural season. And it was just a lot of conversations. And we do this, like, you know, halftime, where you at, which is more, I mean, I'm based in New Orleans. And so everything's like, hey, where you at, you know. And so at halftime, people would submit like pictures from their pub or from the match or, you know, wherever they happen to be. And we did a charity last February for ovarian cancer research and raised a couple thousand dollars for that. So, you know, we just keep it very Arsenal centric, but with a female flair. So it's, you know, it's us.
We know how that goes. We know
you
how
do.
That goes.
It's true.
Yeah, I mean, it's important. It's important. Yeah, I mean, you know, when I first started out talking about football on radio, there were. I actually think this could be correct fact, but I think I was one of the first ever female voices to talk on a live radio show every day about football. And,
I didn't know that
was back in 2010 here. And so, you know, the journey has been very, very long. And I look at, you know, people like Rebecca Lowe, friend of mine, who I'm very, very proud of in terms of how she has evolved from being a top broadcaster in the UK, who was kind of on the tipping point of really growing, and then coming here and kind of being our Gary Lineker of Premier League football. And Tiffany, I know you know especially exactly what I'm talking about, and she's been on our show before. She's quality, and I think at the end of the day, if you really know what you're talking about and you have a knowledge about the game and you have really good opinions and a little bit of character and personality to go behind it, you know, and there are other women like Jackie Oatley in the UK who are also moving the needle forward, Amanda, and there's a ton of women that you've spoken to on Sky Sports and Love Sport Radio as well. It's just, it keeps growing, you know, and to kind of be voices for Arsenal fans, not only that, but for women as well, I think it's something that we really super enjoy and are proud of. So what you guys are doing out here in the US and me living here, I can see how much you've grown and what you're doing. And Arsenal Football Club are one of the best supported clubs at international level. And there are other clubs that are using our model, clubs like Tottenham and Everton, to try and duplicate what we've done over the last 5 years. And Amanda, it's amazing to see what these guys are doing. And you guys hung out in London as well and had an amazing time.
It was fab meeting. Fab meeting Tiff plus everybody else, and we just chatted, and I'm still amazed because obviously I'd been going since what, mid-70s. There was only a few of us there, and one of the girls I'm still friendly with who's a little bit older than me, and Maria, I don't remember any other women there. I just didn't see any. I've never had an issue growing up with football because everyone where I live and grew up treated me as a football fan. I never had any sexism until I went on social media, and now I find it even funnier. I do. I bring it on. Bring all the sexism on you want, because I've probably been to more matches than you've had at dinners. But anyway, Tiff, can you just tell the
well, before you end that, but there are a lot of guys out there that are so without the guys, to be honest with you, there's so many supportive men out there, including our Kev, and a lot of other guys that I've done shows with and hosted with, and you know, they're really super supportive, and they realize the value that women bring to the game. And covering the US women's national soccer team here and being around those women, I think has translated on a global level, and especially for our England's national team as well. So, you know, kudos to the men who've helped us along the way.
And credit where it's due. I mean, the reason that I reached out to so many women and started the group had a lot to do with my own husband telling me, you know, you're talking in these female groups. Why don't you make one big one? There's got to be a lot more women who are in the same position. And, you know, it was just one of those like bells that went off, you know, that said, you know, wow, that should have been really obvious. And it, you know, became a thing really quickly. But it's true. I mean, the feedback that women get, and like you said, you had never experienced the sexism.
No.
Obviously, if you're more in a pub culture than in able to attend matches, you see more of it. I've never experienced a bad interaction at the Emirates. But, you know, in pubs, it does happen. And then you see something as innocent as Alex Scott this week saying something like what we did, and people jumped all over her for not using completely generalized terms and you know, having an unbiased opinion. This is somebody who played for Arsenal for years, you know, so I don't feel like it's as exclusive as it used to be. And there's certainly other clubs that have in England launched, this awareness of, you know, you've got something like 20 to 25% of your attendance each week is female. It shouldn't feel like it needs to be an exclusive thing. You know, we are all there to support the same team.
And it is that. And I don't really see myself as a female or male when I'm at football. I'm an Arsenal fan, and I've never felt like that. I mean, only once many, many years ago, a guy was coming to do some work in a house, 15, 20 years ago. And he walked in and saw an Arsenal thing, and he started talking to my then husband. And my husband went, "It's not me. You need to talk to her." That was it. And there was no sex. He wasn't rude. He wasn't rude or anything. But I do find that the minute I start talking to anyone who has any doubts about my, you know, I suppose, credentials as an Arsenal fan or whatever, because you wouldn't have that as a man. They wouldn't even class it, would they? They expect all men to like football.
Well, and you mentioned Maria, and I would dare anybody to say something to her that might.
She's been all around the world with them and some. But I.
You go to any match and that's the voice you hear.
I know, but you know, most guys realize within about 10 seconds of talking to me that I know what I'm talking about. I'm not interested in their opinions anyway. But I'm just saying that it's great what you're doing out there. It really, really is. And it's fantastic that around the world we can all join. You know, it's not just an American group. It's an Arsenal Gooner Gals group around the world. So anyone listening to this, go and follow them. They're on Facebook. We follow them on Instagram. We follow them on Twitter. And it's brilliant that the three of us are here. And it would have been lovely to have Kev on. And yes, Kev does support absolutely 100% women in football. No doubt about it. So we need to talk about, because we've not been on since we drew to United. And since then.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because Mark was our last guest. He was wonderful, by the way.
He was wonderful. And I really enjoyed talking to Mark because he's got a bad rap on there. And again, you need to not judge everyone by their tweets. I really wish everyone could see that.
He must be happy after the result this weekend.
I spoke to him on Twitter, and of course he is, because that's what he said on the pod, didn't he? So we drew to United, and then we went and played. Let's just go a little bit by a little bit. We played Huddersfield, and it was 1-0. Torreira scores, in the last 8 or 9 minutes? I was there. It wasn't great. We just sneaked the win, as far as I'm concerned. And then we moved on to Carabag, and then we beat them 1-0, and our run was ongoing. And then we hit Southampton, and I just wasn't sure about this game. What can we say? It had to come to an end, and I'm pleased it did, because obviously then after we played Tottenham, and I'd have hated for them to have stopped our run. But Tiff, I know, like Soph, I'm often talking to her through matches, and you have to get up at 4 a.m, 5 a.m, 6 a.m. You know, this one was a 1:30 kickoff UK time. What time was it for you?
6:30.
So, honestly,
7:30. That would have been 7:30.
It's just.
It was 4:30 a.m. for me.
Yeah. So what I'm saying, what I want to get to the point is, where I'm hesitating, is the fact that people do not respect foreign fans. I'm telling you now. I doubt very much I'd get up at 4:30 in the morning to watch Arsenal. I'd probably record it and then wake up and watch it. But it's easy for me to say that. I can watch them normal time here. I take it for granted. I've been to the Emirates and Highbury all my life. So it is different, I know, when you live abroad. You've got to take it as you can get it.
Well, and you saw how many of us came over in that one trip.
Oh, my God. That was amazing. And I loved that. I loved meeting all of you. It just felt you were like my sisters. You know, my Gooner sisters, as I say. But I loved it when Soph came over and I met Soph as well. It's just brilliant. But then it wasn't so brilliant. And Southampton happened. Soph, 3-2.
It was coming. Yeah. It was coming because we, in our run, we all know if we look in the mirror and we're honest, we scraped through some of those results. But the good thing about it was that ordinarily we would have lost those games potentially or walked away with a draw. But here we are scraping through and winning ugly. And haven't we been the dartboard in terms of, you know, not being able to get through gritty, nitty games on a soggy Saturday or Sunday afternoon? We've been criticized so heavily for that. So now here we are winning ugly, and we can't win, by the way. Manchester United beat Cardiff, and it's the resurgence of the great Manchester United. We beat Cardiff, and it's like Arsenal beat a very weak Cardiff team, newly promoted. So, you know, I think as long as we stay focused and we don't, you know, look at what the narrative is that the media want to build about us, it seems that Emery does have this team united, and in those tough moments, he's been able to find a way to scrape through. But that performance against Southampton was really worrying because we had nothing in that game. We didn't have anything. And I feel like at that point, the creativity of someone like Ozil, who can break a game down with one pass, he can destroy an opponent with one pass. And I ask you guys this. Is it worth the risk to garner the reward of having someone like him in the team? regardless of how Emery feels about him in terms of his defensive disciplines and whether or not he's up for every single game. I think he would have been up for the Tottenham game at the Carabao in the Carabao Cup. I think that was a miss. And I think he sent the wrong message. And for the very, very first time, from the Southampton game to the Tottenham game in the Cup, I questioned his managerial decisions. And I'm not criticizing or saying, you know, don't get melodramatic, everyone who's listening to this. But he made some really dubious decisions that I do think cost us. But at the same time, the team was poor. And in terms of dissecting the game, there's no point because we were really, really bad in both of those matches.
What do you think, Tiff?
To be honest, I think at least a small part of me thinks that the Carabao loss was intentional. Not that you ever want to lose, but it's one less competition and kind of a fluff competition that we didn't need to be so focused on. And it hurts to, you know, go out the way that you do. But I definitely think that Ozil is worth, you know, whatever sort of trades you feel like we're making with, you know, his own defensive play or lack thereof and, the technical skill that he shows at the front. I definitely think that's a valuable trade. But I didn't necessarily question, I mean, you never want to lose to Tottenham. So it was a lose-lose situation because, you know, you're playing in a competition that doesn't matter all that much, in my opinion. But you're playing against Tottenham, so you never, ever, ever want to record a loss there. But
Amanda and I felt it from Kevin. Kev kind of had that optimistic, but we both were like, we never felt we were going to win that game.
No, never.
Never.
No.
I didn't either. I mean, after Southampton, I think I posted at some point, like, I'm glad it's not Tottenham that breaks it.
Yeah. Well, I predicted outside the ground I predicted all day we'd lose 3-1. And we don't do predictions for the Carabao Cup, which thank God, because I would have had to be true to myself and said it. And I've not predicted a loss the whole season apart from City. No, I said we'd beat City and draw at Chelsea, and I got that wrong.
Okay, but do you actually think that not playing in that competition anymore is a loss?
Yeah, I do, Tiff, because it's trophy. And what I wanted was us to get within the top four and win a trophy. Look, we've still got the cup and possibly the Europa. I don't see this, how can you put it, system of what's more important than not. It's a trophy. And this leads us into something very nice, actually, that I just heard on the TV that you two wouldn't have heard because you don't have Sky Sports, that Martin Tyler and Gary Neville were talking about how great Tottenham are. How they've been great for the last two or three seasons without winning trophies. And they were insinuating it's okay not to win trophies. They're still doing Yeah, they have this. And it's actually going on now because I tweeted about it. And I've asked Gary Neville to qualify what he said because he did say they have underperformed. But then Martin Tyler was gushing. And I do think there is something going on in the media with Spurs because over here especially because we got in the top four for God knows how many years and got ridiculed for it. And then we were like second, third, fourth, you know, whatever it was. We got ridiculed, yet they're being praised for going third, fourth, fifth, second, you know, whatever.
No, as I'm sorry. You can't not win anything and still get high praise.
Well, they are. And that's exactly what's going on. And they have just beaten Everton 6-2 and they played brilliant. They scored great goals. I'm not going to be one of these Arsenal fans that I'm not praising them. I'm saying it as it is. They are definitely a force for the league because over here now we've got City that have failed yesterday. Chelsea, I think, are out of it. Liverpool are storming it. But you know what? Liverpool could go through a bad patch and Tottenham could take it. It's December. It's not March or April. Anything can happen. You know, you've got, at Liverpool, you've got Van Dijk, you've got Salah and all this. Any of them could get serious injuries, God forbid. No, I don't wish that on anyone, obviously. But that could happen. And I was just saying to my Liverpool mate, just step back a sec. You got Tottenham steaming forward here. God knows how we beat them 4-2, but that, you know, that may have spurred them on. I'm not praising Tottenham. I'm just saying, sorry.
Okay, hold on.
I'm going on a rant.
Hold on. I know you are. And let me.
My dad's painted me.
I've been, okay. You got to tell him. that he can't do that anymore because then it has a roll-on effect with the rest of the crew and, you know, just gets worse. So here's a couple of things. Number one, very great point about the League Cup. For me, it's the timing. To win a trophy in February gives you a kick and a vibe for the rest of the season, where we in past seasons have found it really difficult to find our strength. We floundered in February, March, and hopefully it'll be different under Emery. And then in the last 10 games of the season, where it's way too late, we go on a run. So the League Cup in February is so important, and it can instill a confidence in the team. Second, the narrative with Spurs and Arsenal. The media are so desperate for Tottenham to actually win a trophy, to the point where they're now saying it's not even that important. So when they do, the level of importance is going to be magnified even more. There's a David versus Goliath narrative that they've been trying to build. The mighty Arsenal, the invincible team who have kind of risen and fallen. And they really desperately want to turn it around. And they are craving for Tottenham to win something of significance, right? Then the other thing, Liverpool. Liverpool fans do need to really super calm down because we've seen them choke before. And they haven't been here. This team hasn't been here before. And Klopp really hasn't been here before. And like you said, Amanda, there is a whole 5 juicy months left in this chase. And if anyone dares to write off Manchester City, I will tell you this right now. I guarantee you that they will only lose one more game between now and the end of the season. And they could lose it to a Spurs and they could lose it to a Liverpool, which could end up costing them the title. But to be writing Pep Guardiola off, he is going to have their guts for garters after that performance against Crystal Palace. And it's the same thing with us. Losing at the timing we did is a good kick up the arse. Manchester City, the same. Liverpool at some point will hit a rough patch, especially if they carry on going in the Champions League. So this isn't over by any means. And are Tottenham good? Absolutely. They are a very, very good side. And it's sickening watching their evolution. But until they win something, they're irrelevant.
Well, I agree. And look, I don't mean to completely dismiss the League Cup. And I completely understand what you're saying about a February trophy and how much that helps with the impetus for the rest of the season. My point is, with our injuries, I don't mind sacrificing that for the fitness of the team when it comes to the other competitions that we're in.
That's fair enough.
I wish that it didn't have to be that way. But yeah.
How old are you, Tiff, out of interest?
40.
Oh, all right. You are nearly our age. That's fine. No, 'cause some, you find a lot of the younger ones think like that, like the 20 and 25-year-olds. Because they don't appreciate a trophy. But
I love it when Amanda says you're nearly our age. It's so epic.
I'm 50 next summer. I act like a 20-year-old, but I'm 50 next summer.
So amazing. Your boy Ozil, though, Amanda, came in and had an impact on this
game. We have missed it. Do you know what? I am sick to death of seeing this on social media, right? You are entitled to your opinion. I ain't got a problem with it. I'm entitled to mine. Opinions can't be right. They're not facts, okay? So people need to pipe down a little bit and have a bit of respect for somebody else. I want Ozil in the team. I think we've missed him. We've missed his creativity. That ball we passed to, to Kolasinac was just sublime. We've got a situation going on now, like we had with Wenger in and Wenger out. Now it's like Meza in and Meza out. I just wish we'd just all just sort of have a bit of banter and a bit of a laugh, but it is a talking point. So Tiff, what do you think about Ozil? Where do you stand with him?
I love him. I absolutely adore him. I think there are definitely times where I feel like his skill is still untapped. I mean, he has so much potential and, you know, we've seen in matches past what he can do. And no, he doesn't always do it, but this notion that there's always something going on behind the scenes is a little bit ridiculous. Mm. You know, people do get injured and coaches do make calls based on their own technical decisions. And whether that's the truth or not, it's not like we're going to find out by, you know, making these assumptions online and knocking down everybody and wanting bad things for other players. I think he's definitely valuable. And I think that, you know, yeah, there's, it adds something to the squad that we don't otherwise have. And I think we need it.
Soph?
Amanda?
Yes, darling.
I have a dream. Okay. I'm telling you right now, I'm totally sober. I'm telling you this. I have a dream that Ozil has a signature moment in a big game. And I wish for him, I made a Christmas wish, that he can have one of those moments against Liverpool, the undefeated team, and for Ozil to be potentially wearing the captain's armband. And I know Anfield is a place and you've been there so many times under good and happy moments. And back in the day when I traveled with away fans, most of the time I went there, it wasn't pleasant. But if he could have a moment, that is the thing with Ozil. That's the biggest criticism. We know you don't get voted German Player of the Year multiple times if you're not great. This is for a World Cup winning team. This boy is special. You know, and he's one of those players that needs love and he needs to feel that, right? So with Ozil, I feel like if he could have that moment against Liverpool and be the part of the Arsenal team that destroyed their invincible run, that's a moment. And that's what people are waiting for from someone who is so special. But in the Premier League, he hasn't had that signature moment yet. He hasn't.
You know what? And I feel like that's a little bit unfair because
Great players have signature moments.
No, that's not what I mean. But
you've got to have a signature moment. It's not fair or not fair.
Okay, but
you
know, I don't mean that. I'm saying I think he already does. I think he definitely already has signature moves. And I mean, we saw in the Burnley match, he had on one of the goals, possession of the ball three times.
Burnley.
Soph, let her speak. Let her speak. Go on, Tiff.
No, I'm just saying, I mean, in the passing, leading up to, I believe it was the second goal, he had possession of the ball three times in one little go round and just kept getting it to the right person until we scored. And so I think are his strengths already. And I think he does show those. And it, you know, whether
he's shown it twice, he's shown it in the game where we were losing to Liverpool and, we had those three magical goals in however many minutes, him and Sanchez, the way they combined, he was magical in that game, right? But in the end, we didn't win that game. The Chelsea game where we beat them 3-0, you know, he hasn't had those moments in games the way a lot of great players have had. And the truth is that he needs that. Because
so you're saying he doesn't have it or the consistency?
That's what great players do. Messi, Ronaldo, great players are consistent. He's in this world-class bracket. Lewandowski, consistent. Mandzukic, consistent. You know, Kane, consistent. This is the truth. You have to be consistent. Iniesta, Xavi, Suarez, Gerrard, consistent. You've got to be, to truly have an effect on a team long-term. Look at the Arsenal team of the past. The reason why we were so great for so long is because every single player in their position was consistent all the time. And Liverpool right now are benefiting from that. The consistency across their squad is insane. And that's the difference. You know, you could argue that we're Liverpool 3 years ago. Amazing going up front, absolute dire at the back. Mm-hmm. And maybe there's hope because you think, well, if Liverpool could fix it the way they have, maybe we can as well. And yes, consistency is what gets you back in the Champions League and eventually challenging for the Premier League.
Well, look, again, it's opinions. I respect yours. It's just I'd rather have him in the team. So let's talk about yesterday, and I need to say something. So we do predictions every week. I don't like doing them, but I'm forced to by the Highbury squad. I said 2-1. Both Sophie and Kev said 3-1. So well done to my brother and my sister. Spot on. And at 2-1, I was begging for you to be right so I could enjoy the game. Yes, we turned up. I think we were under pressure against Burnley, if I'm honest. 12:30 kickoff is the worst time on the planet. Anyone that has ever thought 12:30 is good needs their head testing. There's no atmosphere. People had just got out of bed. It was half, not half the ground empty. That's a bit of an exaggeration, but there was a lot of empty seats. And we'd come off a two-game loss. What I'm trying to say, you know, we'd lost two games, the last two games. And I need a mimosa. And to lose the... to lose against Tottenham isn't easy, whether it's in that cup or not. And of course, you know, I said it last week. And funny enough, I went to that game, and there wasn't a soul around me I knew. just no one. It was like an away game. Because as Tiff as well, you know, you're not the only one. People don't take it seriously. They don't want to pay an extra 20, 25 quid to go. I did because it's Tottenham. And that's the only reason I went, I think. So I just feel, look, that was a very odd game. If Mkhitaryan would have scored one-on-one with the goalkeeper, could have been a different match, but it's not. So let's move to Burnley. So we all turn up at up past 12 yesterday, and I thought we did all right, actually. So if I thought we did, I thought we played well. I thought Burnley had Stokes tactics with, and I thought the manager, which we'll get onto manager in a minute. I thought they were there to bully us. I thought they were there to defend and then catch us on the break, which they did a few times. I'm worried about our defence. It's just shocking. But overall, definitely deserve to win it. And Ozil made the difference. He is quality, definitely in that match. But my man of the match was Kolasinac. Honestly, he is everything that we've been missing. Right? Yeah. And to score, to actually get into that position, you know, Ozil saw him before he even got in the position. That's how class Ozil is. Anyway, let's move on from that. I'm going to get that little bit in. But I felt 3-1 was good, Soph. I thought it was deserved.
I think so too. And another thing everyone has complained about Arsenal in the past is our lack of muscle and that we can't win dirty games. You know, that we capitulate against opponents that really bully us. And there's no doubt Burnley came to bully us and they didn't win that battle. And I was so proud to watch players like Sogradis not be afraid to kind of put it in the mixer and to know enough when to step back, to not get himself and the team in trouble with a red card. You know, to see Xhaka control himself in a game like that, I think that shows a lot of growth. You know, to see a player like Lichtsteiner, who I think we all know isn't the right player on the pitch. Mm. We've seen now the evolution of Bellerin and how he's improved over Emery. But what he brings is that total annoying. If he plays for you, you love him. If he plays against you, he's the most annoying player on the planet. And so for us to come through a game like that, I think was really important. Our goals, our movement up front again was really good. I think we all agree Torreira in midfield is going to be the way to go. But I also think that we've seen for the first time this season, and Lacazette started with Aubameyang, the partnership is amazing. And we had our first lead going into halftime since the season started. So a lot of lessons for Emery in this match. And the less I see of Xhaka playing at centre-back, the better for me.
Yeah.
I know that we have some challenges. But I would rather see a youth player come up, to be honest with you, and have him in midfield with Torreira.
What do you think, Tiff?
I agree with pretty much all of that. I think the best we've ever seen from Xhaka is when he's opposite Torreira.
Yeah.
To put him at center back is just a waste of anything that he does have a strong talent for. I rarely come away from a win feeling pretty pissed off, but that was such a dirty match.
Mm.
And, you know, to be honest, Barnes shouldn't have been on the pitch to be able to score by the time he did. I felt like, you know, that little scuffle on the sideline should have been a red anyway. So, they pulled it together. They did it. I agree with you. We've needed some size. We've definitely got it. I love the tank. I actually don't mind Lichtsteiner because I like having some anger. But I do wish that he had a bit more of the skill to go with the anger.
He's just older, isn't he? It's not, you know, his best years were at Juventus really, but, the muscle part is really important. And, you know, did the fans respond to that in the stadium, Amanda? Because Tiffany, I think you'll agree, it sounded so quiet on, it was awful. I think half of the battle the other day was the crowd weren't in the game at all. It was terrible.
Mm-hmm. It was tough. The atmosphere was tough yesterday. It was tough to lift us. I mean, why? I can't stand 12:30 kickoff, Soph. I just can't stand it. But I'd like to just go back to the point of the referee. Yes, I found the referee, Ashley Barnes, should have been off the pitch before he even scored the goal. Mm-hmm. Would VAR have helped that? What do you think?
With the stamp, yes, because he stamped on Guendouzi, right? Yeah. That was a terrible, disgusting thing to do. And he knew as he was doing it, he eased off on the pressure because he thought twice about it, but it was too late because he had already, you know, made the movement and stuff. And the fact that he got away with that was a disgrace. One of three other challenges that he escaped. And you guys are absolutely right. He should have been off the pitch before he even scored. And the referee failed miserably. No one was sent off in the end for them, right? Which is shocking.
No.
It is. And they did start to play a bit like Stoke. It was like...
I said the same thing. This was like playing Stoke. Absolutely. Yeah.
And you know what? We graced them with our beautiful goals, I'm afraid. we just did. We just showed them.
Aubameyang.
Aubameyang.
So it was 6:30 in the morning in New Orleans. And I know it was earlier for California as well, but... you know, the first 4 minutes of the match kind of woke us up.
Mm.
And then, you know, like Soph said, it seemed like it was very quiet in the stadium. Like you said, a 12:30 kickoff, it's just people aren't turning up in the first place. But in the bar, it was pretty loud.
I can imagine.
Loud and ruckus.
Well, I don't get Tiff. I mean, Arsenal Burnley isn't an interesting prospect anyway, is it? Although, it was okay. Who thinks at 12:30 on a Saturday before Christmas that's going to be a good idea?
The moneymakers. It's about the international, about the Asian time zone. It's a data time capture. It's all about the money.
Not about
and it's
us.
All about the TV, you know. And the truth is that the fans going into the stadium have become less important than the fans internationally. And you're seeing that with the tours. You're seeing that with the time clubs are spending over here. They're taking the fans that buy their season ticket and going to the stadium for granted. They're not doing enough for them. And they're using the whole international, you know, fan base as a vehicle to gyp you guys with kickoff times.
Yeah.
And it's not right. And in Germany, we're seeing teams protest, fans protest and actually not show up to games. So I think they need to be really careful about that. And we saw England play behind closed doors against Croatia and what that stadium and game felt like without fans, you know. But anyway, I digress. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. Look, you know, we're now coming into the holiday period. Tough. It's tough for everyone, not just us. We have Brighton on Boxing Day, I think UK time 5:30. We then have... an easy match at Anfield on Saturday night at 5:30. And if I'm right, I think Fulham next week. I haven't got that far.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, New Year's Day.
Tiff, let's have some predictions. We've got Kev's predictions and I'll tell you them in a minute. But what do you reckon, Brighton?
3-1 Arsenal.
Okay. Can you give me the one for Liverpool?
I think it's going to be a draw at 1-1. Yep.
Okay. Soph?
I think we'll be Brighton 3-2. And I think we'll draw with Liverpool. I have a dream that we're going to beat them like 3-2 or something, but I think it's going to be a 3-3.
Wow.
Really? And, so sorry, Brighton's going to be what did you say?
Brighton, I think, will beat 3-2 because I think we're very vulnerable at the back right now with our defence.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking a ratio of at least 2 goals a game that we're going to concede. So if we concede 2 against Brighton, I'm thinking at least we could concede 3 or 4 against Liverpool. That's the reality in terms of, you know, their prowess going up front. But with that said, we have the hottest striker in the country right now in Aubameyang. I'm so proud of him. I love how he feels like a gooner. It's so different, and I'll come on to the next segment when I bring him up. But having him And I think it was Tim Stillman, who I really respect and I love reading his stuff, was saying that when we had Van Persie, he lifted us. His goals lifted us up to third. He got us into the Champions League. That dude was amazing. And he was saying that Aubameyang, he feels, could be the same kind of guy. And I totally agree with him. I think it's an amazing point. And I think that he is such an important player right now. And that's why I feel like we could get three goals against them.
Right. Can you say your Liverpool one again? I got lost with the Brighton one because I just wanted the prediction. Honestly, so funny. You've got
3-3.
Brighton 3-2. You've got Liverpool 3-3, yeah?
Yes.
Kevin has said 2-1 at Brighton and 1-1 at Liverpool. Right. Now we come to me.
Dun, dun, dun.
Right. Brighton. I'm going for 2-0. Okay. It ain't going to be easy down there with our defence. And then we come to Liverpool, yeah? Well, I've got to be true to myself. We're going to lose. There's no way on earth I can see us getting anything. And if I sat here and said, oh, yeah, we're going to win or draw, I'm sorry, that's not what I believe. And I'm not really bothered if I get lambasted for it. That's how I feel. You have to be true to yourself. And if I sat, after what I've said to my Liverpool friends in the last 48 hours, if I sat here and said, oh, yeah, we're going to win, I'm sorry, I don't believe that. my score... Well,
I'm let me say it for you.
Go on.
Can I do a Sostradamus? I think you think we're going to lose 4-2.
4-1, actually. Oh, that's what that's I was going to say. You were close, baby. But I actually think 7-0, if I'm honest.
Oh, God.
I've actually said to my friend, if you don't score 7 against us, you should be horrified. No, 4-1.
Super Kev, hold on 1 second. Time out. Wait. Right, you don't like that bell, and I rang it. You know why? You just said that we would concede 7 goals against Liverpool. Did you hear yourself? Did you? If Super Kevin Campbell was here, no, you just get to, there's no actual way to defend you now. All right.
What I mean, so it could be 10-0. What I mean is that they will get a hatful. I'm Jewish. We exaggerate. 4-1. Okay.
Second time you have created football treason. Oh my gosh. Honestly, you third, and we're going to have to put you in the gallows.
And happy Hanukkah
to
you.
We are allowed to predict a loss. I know I've not done it the whole season apart from Tottenham this week, but. And I predicted a draw once against Palace. Did you see the abuse I got? And everyone said I was bang out of order and wrong, and we got a draw. It's so funny. I am allowed to go with... listen, when I'm sitting
there... not 7 goals, not to actually visualise.
No, not 7 goals. I was being... I'm Jewish. What did I tell you? We exaggerate, okay?
Yeah,
so,
of course.
I think we're going to lose heavily. That's what I'm trying to say. Unfortunately... I think we are. I think Liverpool, I nearly said Tottenham, I think Liverpool are going to come at us like you've never seen. Wouldn't you, with a defence like ours, with Salah, Firmino, Mane? Seriously? Seriously? And you've got Fabinho now. You've got Van Dijk, who's immense. You've got a decent goalkeeper there, and it's live on a Saturday night under the Anfield lights. Please, be realistic here. We've got Xhaka in defence, possibly. Or even if Mustafi comes back, he's not going to be match fit. So now I think you can understand where I'm coming from.
Oh, my. I'm going to replay this to you. I'm going to replay this segment to you.
Let me tell you what I will do.
Play it.
Right.
Maybe with jingle bells in the background.
If we draw or win at Anfield, I will do a forfeit. Not anything to do with wearing a Spurs shirt. That's never going to happen. But I will do a forfeit because I'll take anything just to get a draw up there. I honestly would.
Wait, what you're saying is, and let me repeat this so the listeners can actually hear it clearly and concisely. Ding. If we draw or win at Anfield, you will undertake a forfeit.
Yeah.
Wow, this is fantastic. All right, so I will liaise with Kev.
No, it's only you can
Tiffany
do it. Kev will have me singing something.
No, Tiffany could be the voice of reason and tell us that, no, sticking pins in her isn't going to work.
Oh, wait, I'm from Voodoo Central. So yes, pins work. I'm on your side.
I'm going to need your other little super fans on Twitter to save you.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to need all my super fans. No one's going to like me. They're all going to wish me a bad Christmas because hopefully this will be out before Christmas Day. So, okay, we've done our predictions. We're hopefully going to be back before the new year, but if we're not...
Hold on, I have a surprise for you guys.
Oh,
you don't say goodbye just yet. Yeah, very, very quickly. All right, so I have a surprise for you guys. Don't go away so quickly, Miss Amanda over there, trying to hide your football treason, saying we're going to concede 7 goals. Seeing as Kev isn't here, I figured we can go a little old school and play some Snog, Marry, Avoid.
Mm.
How about them apples?
Yeah.
And because Aubameyang has been on fire, his stats are amazing. The numbers don't lie. He's had an incredible impact on the team. He's the player that we've been waiting for up front. Long may it continue. I have gone to a little... greatest strikers ever who've played for Arsenal for Snog, Marry, Avoid this week.
Okay.
Tiffany, are you ready?
I hope so.
Now, the reason why I didn't include Robin Van Persie in this, having mentioned him earlier, is because we know that everyone would have avoided him.
Avoided, 100%.
So we have Thierry Henry, Ian Wright.
Oh, you bitch.
And Aubameyang himself. And how can you not recognize the man of the moment? How about them apples for who do you save in a burning building, let alone Snog, Marry, Avoid? Tiffany, over to you.
How the hell am I supposed to avoid any of them?
Exactly.
It could be the best Snog, Marry, Avoid ever.
Okay. My Mary is Thierry Henry. There's not a question. It's down to Ian and Aubameyang. Oh, dear God.
But we want your reasons. You can't just
Why would you marry Thierry? Yeah. What is it about Thierry? What marriage qualities?
Because he's a god. Because he is incredibly skilled and talented and really nice to look at. And because he's freaking Thierry Henry. Like,
there you go. Yeah,
there's no above that for me. So I think I'm going to snog Ian Wright and avoid Aubameyang.
Oh, crushing for the man of the moment.
Yeah, that was really hard.
Amanda, did you hear what Tiffany said? She's actually kicking Aubameyang to the curb, the man who's scoring the goals right now. Mm. What do you say?
Ian already had his.
Oh, well, good point. Very nice. Good comeback. I like it.
Right. Okay. This is not easy, you know. So, funny enough, I'm going to avoid Omri. Okay.
Ooh.
I know.
Curveball.
Controversial. I'm going to snog.
Why?
Because I think he's, I think we'd argue. Because of his petulance. That's the only reason. But I'd want him to recreate the run he made against Spurs and then on his knees probably every day. And he probably wouldn't want to. I'm going to snog Aubameyang. Because I think it would be the funniest snog ever, because he's so funny and I watch him on all the social media. He's so cute and he's hilarious and I love him in our team.
You have to bow to you first.
Sorry?
You have to bow to you first.
Yeah, bow to me and then we snog. Perfect. And of course, I would marry Ian Wright. And I'd just spend the rest of my life with Ian Wright. I would die and go to heaven because he is my number one hero with about 10 of them on close seconds. But avoid Omri, marry Wright, snog Aubameyang.
Very nice. Mine's exactly like Amanda's, I think. Yeah. Actually, no, I'd swap Wrighty and Aubameyang around. I'd snog Wrighty because having met him in Russia, he is a lot of fun and he's adorable and he's a good guy and he talks to everybody and he's friendly with everybody. And Aubameyang, I'd marry right now because He's my soup du jour. And Thierry, he's had his time, but I respect the memories.
Both of you are just crushing me on this one.
Amanda, back to you.
Back to me. Okay, so we are now coming up to, you call it the holiday season, we call it the festive season. And from Sophie and myself and Kev, Super Kevin Campbell, we want to wish everybody, and I mean everybody that listens to us, that tweets us, that laughs with us, that communicates with us and listens to us, a very merry, happy, joyful, healthy Christmas. And 3 points against Brighton. Now, Tiff,
get in there, get in there.
Get your Twitter handle in now. Who should they follow?
Can I also plug an event?
Of course you can. Allowed?
Okay.
Wait. Are we invited to this event? Are we invited?
Of course you are. Oh my God. I was begging Amanda to come and just stay at my house for the event.
She wants me to come and stay with her. We're going to do a pod from her house in New Orleans.
This is epic.
She's welcome to stay with me as well.
If anyone saw the pictures on Twitter last week of me having 4 Proseccos and I don't drink, I think you'd want me to stay under lock and key.
That's
lovely.
What a lightweight.
Total lightweight. Honestly, I had a half yesterday with Kev in the pub. You should have seen what I was like. Oh, my life. Anyway, go on.
Hilarious.
So Twitter and Facebook is just Gooner Gals, GOONERGALS. It's the same on Instagram. And then separately, I am the events coordinator for Arsenal America, and I am obviously a member of the crew of Arsenal, which is the New Orleans Gooners group. And there's lots of American events year round. We did the huge trip to London in October. We had 84 people that came over and went to the match, and freaking incredible time there for 5 days. And then in February, we have a incredibly large event called Gooner Gras. You've probably seen videos because the, you know, Arsenal Fan TV was here last year, and it's gotten, you know, it's a beast of its own at this point, but it's 4 days, February 14th to the 17th. And it's all Arsenal all the time. So we truly paint New Orleans red, and the tickets are on, or the registration is at GoonerGras.com, and you can look at the itinerary and, you know, see if it's something that you're into. But if you're into Arsenal and having fun and smiling, then you're into it. And we attend a Mardi Gras parade. We have a balcony over the parade. We just kind of kick it off right, and it's so, so, so much fun. But the tickets are right now less than they will be starting January 1st. So you're in the early bird time, and you'll want to take a look at that.
Be fantastic.
Nice.
If you live in the States or you want to fly over, I'm seriously debating it. I can't decide yet.
We have lots of people that fly over every year.
I know.
If you go, I'll go.
I know, but I want you to go whether I go or not. But I just don't know yet. It's something I'm going to have to decide in January, which isn't far off. So, Tiff, I'd like to say thank you on the very short notice you had coming on, and you are definitely coming back with us. Would love to say hello to all of your lot and our lot over there. Honestly, I love the American Gooners with a passion. I've got 2 extremely close friends over there that are Arsenal mad. All of you, even meeting you all in the pub was brilliant. It just felt unreal because people were coming up to me going, "You're Amanda." And I'm like, "Yeah, hello." That's like,
your accent is terrible.
Sorry. I cannot do accents. I'll admit that now. But it was so lovely because they all listen to the pod, but you just don't know who listens because some people don't tell you. And they're like, "Yeah, we listen to you every week." And I'm like, "Oh, okay, great." So we love you all. And it's been a pleasure having you on tonight. Thank you so much.
Anything I can do in my pajamas, I'm in.
Yeah, we don't tell people that we sit in our Arsenal pajamas. We're very professional in the studio.
Very.
Soph, happy Christmas, darling. Thank you for being the best podcast sister ever. And you weren't even too drunk tonight, which is...
See, are you proud of me? Did I give you any hint of being drunk?
Beyond. Proud, darling. Beyond.
Thank you very much. And can I just say too, Merry Christmas to everyone. Here's to a healthy, happy, adventurous 2019. And I think sometimes we all get caught up in the chaos, and sometimes it's good to infuse the calm And it's lovely to see our club back on track. And let's not get caught up in what's going on around us and just keep focusing on our team and supporting them going forward. And in your Christmas wishes, please do wish for a Manchester City or Liverpool Premier League title.
Preferably,
thank you.
Preferably City. I'd also like to thank the people that we have come on, like the ref. He comes on when we've got disputes. So happy Christmas, ref.
Oh, bugger him.
Yes.
Come on,
no,
that guy.
Don't
nothing
you dare.
Trouble, he'll be, that geezer.
He'll be giving you a
nothing
yellow card.
But trouble.
He'd give you and a yellow card. Wait till VAR comes out for proper soap. You and him will probably be going at each other.
I mean, definitely. And also, he's not here today, but our super care, we adore him. And we love that he's part of the squad. And it's been so much fun doing shows with such a ledge.
He is a ledge.
And to all the gals.
He's a door ledge.
They love him, don't they? The Goona gals, they really do. They love Super Kev.
He's a window ledge.
He's a doll.
He is. We love him. We take the mickey out of him, but we love him. And it was nice to see him yesterday as well. He was down for the match. So, thank you, ladies. Have a wonderful Christmas. And always Arsenal.